If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps? You got this! And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. They offer just about every battery under the sun, from car and truck batteries to batteries for your trail cameras and rangefinders. Select retail locations even offer cell phone repair and cracked screen repair. Find a local retail location at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Before we get started, we're going to do some real quick commercials. Lone Wolf Portable Tree Stands, and that's lonewolfhuntingproducts.com. Tons of great products, right? I've been using the four sticks and an assault hang-on for like 13 years now, and if not longer. It is my go-to run-and-gun set. Absolutely love the product. Love that it's made in America. Love that it's quiet to tear down and set up and allow you to just be mobile. So if you want to find out more information about Lone Wolf portable tree stands, visit lonewolfhuntingproducts.com. Next, we have the Average Conservationist apparel, and that is theaverageconservationist.com. And I'll tell you this, man, when a company right out of the gate, before they even sell any products, says to themselves, you know what, I'm going to give 10% of all of my profits to some form of conservation effort, that's a company that not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. And that is exactly what the average conservationist does after, you know, after they make their money, before they, you know, take any deductions. They give 10% of their profit to a local or a national or a statewide conservation effort, period, right? Now, on top of that, they have some kick-ass apparel, right? They have T-shirts, hats, hoodies. One of my favorite T-shirts that I've been wearing a lot lately is the Euro Tee. I love the Compass hoodie and the general hat. Those are that's like my go-to date night, I guess you want to say, date night outfit. But then they also have some other hats and T-shirts and sweatshirts that you guys should take a look at. Really cool logos, really awesome lifestyle and apparel brand. So check out theaverageconservationist.com. 3, 2, 1. All right. On today's Hunting Gear Podcast BS session, I'm joined by Andy McLaughlin. Andy, how we doing, man?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Are you excited for this upcoming season?
I'm getting pretty pumped up.
Yeah. What do you got on the books for this year?
Whitetails at home in Indiana. I got to get the freezer filled up. That's main priority. I want to get some does put down real quick. And got a few bucks I'm looking for this year. And I'm going to try and get my kids out quite a bit this year. They went a little bit last year, but I'm going to try and get them out a little bit more this year.
Gotcha.
Get some time with them.
Gotcha. How old are your kids?
I've got one that's 7 and one that's 10.
Okay.
So all right.
They're just a hair older than the kids I got.
Yeah, they're getting to where they can sit still a little bit longer than the little kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They're showing some more interest.
Yeah, that's good. My daughter's 8. My son is 6. So I'm hoping that in the next couple years they can go out and sit without bouncing around. Of course, I don't have too many blind setups, right? Most of my setups are tree stand. I think if I want to involve my kids more, I'm going to have to definitely get some kind of blinds set up, you know, packed into a fence row or something and figure it out.
That's what I've got. I've got a little corner, fence row corner, and I've got a blind set in there, and pretty much have taken everything out that I need to keep everybody happy, and then it's not too far of a walk,
right?
You know, with the kids.
Right. Okay, so you reached out to me, and you know, like a lot of people reach out, and they're like, "Hey, man, I want to do this Western hunting thing. I'm going to start doing some more of this Western hunting." But the thing about it is, I don't want to have to drop a whole bunch of cash on all of the Western hunting gear. And I think this is a really good topic, because from experience, I know that you can spend a ton of money. You can go out and have a fun Western hunt, depending, you know, maybe you're at 12,000 feet chasing elk or mule deer, or maybe you're just going west to hunt some muleys in the plain states. And there are, you know, obviously there's tons of different gear out there. But like you mentioned in your Instagram message to me, is that you don't feel like a guy needs to spend too much money in order to get the gear necessary for one of those bigger hunts. So why don't you go ahead and explain your thought process on what, you know, what you were talking about in this message you sent to me?
Yeah. So like, okay, I'm an Indiana guy that, you know, I do whitetails and small game, you know, so I've got hunting gear that works for around here, and I'm like to go and do Western hunts, but you just gotta kind of pick and choose the gear that you buy. Because, okay, if you're gonna go out and you're gonna be doing truck camping, you don't need the ultra light you know, 2-pound sleeping bag or quilt and a tarp and, you know, and a little MSR reactor. And, you know, you can take a grill with you and a real tent and a real sleeping bag and, you know, truck camp.
Right.
Basically, you know.
Yep.
Because all that gear adds up so quickly, you know.
Right.
And a lot of, and by the time you buy the latest and greatest gear out there today, you know, I'm only going on a Western hunt probably every 3 years. Well, what's that gear going to be like in 3 years? It's not going to be the latest and greatest anymore by then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With technology today.
Yeah. Well, you bring up some really good points there. And that's one thing that I have been talking a lot about in a couple YouTube videos that I've done on the Sportsman's Nation YouTube channel about specifically clothing, right? Layering and base layers and things like that. And I do feel that there are a couple products that play more of an important role in how comfortable you are than others do.
Yeah.
So, and I get where you're going, where, you know, you're a whitetail guy. You hunt in a tree stand, and sometimes the clothing, I think what a lot of this has to do is there are the marketing out there says that you need to have different gear for whitetail hunting and different gear for Western hunting. But I can tell you from experience that might not be the case. Right. You could probably get away with both, right? Or buy a product that you can use both places. So, how long ago was your first Western hunt?
I went antelope hunting in Wyoming. It's been about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. All right. So was that a trip that you hunted out of your truck for, like camped around your truck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So when you knew that you were going to go out there and, you know, camp out of your truck, did you already have most of the gear that you needed? Or did you feel that, hey, on one of these early, you know, this August, September, or was it a rifle hunt or a bow hunt?
It was in September.
Okay, September.
So that was a rifle. Yep, that was a rifle hunt.
Okay,
in September.
So a rifle hunt in September. And I've been out west a handful of times in September, and you know, the temperatures and everything could fluctuate. So did you feel that on that rifle hunt, knowing that you were gonna camp out of your truck, did you feel like you had all of the gear necessary to get the job done, or did you have to go and buy any type of gear to prepare for that hunt?
I had things that I took with me, that I already owned. But when I came home, I changed some gear out.
Okay. All right.
Definitely changed some gear out when I came home.
Okay. So you went out there, you experienced that hunt. You said to yourself, oh man, what I currently had did not work for me. Now, you said you changed some gear out. Before we talk about the gear specifically, why did you feel that you needed to change some of your gear out? I mean, did it just straight up not work and it made you like really uncomfortable?
Straight up didn't work.
Okay.
Quick learning curve.
Gotcha.
Things that might do all right in a whitetail situation, you know, a couple hours at a time in the evening, you know, a couple all day sits. Just, you know, just wasn't cutting it out there.
Okay. So what products were those now specifically that didn't make the cut and that just performed really poorly for you?
First, first and foremost was my rangefinder.
Okay. And why not?
I got up there, and my rangefinder didn't work. It did, just not past, you know, anything past a couple hundred yards was, it didn't show up.
Okay. So you had a rangefinder that would have performed perfectly in the whitetail woods, right? At the, you know, the 30 yards and in, but once you got out to a place like Wyoming where you're hunting in a space that is completely wide open for antelope, your rangefinder wasn't necessarily built for that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right. So what was the issue, did you think? I mean, just it didn't go, like the laser wasn't powerful enough to range at that distance, or were you ranging animals that were past the recommended range of that specific rangefinder?
I just think it was having trouble picking up anything reflective.
Okay.
I mean, there was, you know, because it's just, you know, prairie.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it had enough ass to really pick up anything. Even at real close range out there, it didn't seem to function properly.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense, man. All right. So then once you ended up getting, getting that range finder. All right. Well, before we get into that, then, any other products other than your rangefinder that didn't perform out there that you had to upgrade before your next trip?
A frame pack.
Okay. All right. To carry something, you know, like the meat out when you get out there.
Yep. I had, it was a pack board with like a sling, like a meat shelf sling on it, and that's what I had, and I put weight on it and did some hikes with it around home, went to the hills and hiked with some weight in it and did all right, but once I got out there and I had to pack an antelope out a couple of miles, it was it just didn't cut it.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, what was wrong with that pack? Was it cutting into your hips or your shoulders?
Yep,
or was it not?
Exactly what it did.
Okay. So it
tore
just.
Up my hips.
I gotcha. All right. Did it hold the meat like it was supposed to hold the meat? So did it hold the meat like it was supposed to hold the meat and keep everything secure? Or was it just the issue with like the hips and the shoulder straps?
It was pretty much just the hip belt and the way everything, it just didn't work out around the hip belt.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this then, right? Obviously a range finder is something very important, but did that pack suck so much that you couldn't just tough it out, right? The whole point of this conversation is to talk about, getting away with something at a cheaper level than having to spend a whole bunch of money for a Western hunt that you're only going to go out to once every 3 years or trying to do it cheaper. You know what I mean?
Right.
So did that pack just suck so much that you're just like, dude, if I want to do this and be comfortable, I gotta upgrade.
Well, that pack, okay, on that trip, I had one heavy pack out and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, so if I had to load up a heavy pack and carry it every day for an extended trip, something where I'm, you know, going farther in, I just seen that as an investment.
Yeah.
Into future hunts, because that's going to last me the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's kind of a buy once, cry once type scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get that. So, out of curiosity, when you upgraded to your new pack, what did you get?
I got a Mystery Ranch Selway 60.
Okay.
So that they only made it for a couple of years. It's right in between the Pintler and the Metcalf.
Okay.
So everybody knows the Metcalf, you know, is kind of a weekend or 3 to 5 day pack, and the Pintler is kind of the, you know, a 1 to 2 night pack.
Right.
So this is it's 60 liters, so.
Gotcha.
It's right in the, you know, middle ground.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I use it a lot for even just whitetail hunting. You know, I've packed out some whitetails in that thing too, so.
Okay. So.
It works well.
How much did you spend on that?
Well, I got it on sale. I mean, to be honest with you, I buy a lot of my stuff from Camo Fire because it's a pretty good deal sometimes. I think it was about $350, somewhere in there, $350, $380.
Okay. And how many years have you had it now?
Since 19.
Okay. So this, you're going on your, what is this? Your third.
It'll be my third hunting season on it.
Okay, good. And has it performed well for you?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it.
Okay, good.
A lot.
So definitely, so would you say that $300 and whatever you spent, we'll just round up to four. Let's just say it was four. Do you feel like that was, that $400 was worth the cost as far as the functionality is concerned?
Yeah. And I use that thing for all kinds of, like I use it, when I go hunting, you know, we got some public land that's down in the hills and I'll take it down there and I'll use it when I go turkey hunting too. Cause I, you know, with that frame pack on, I can kind of sit back against it. And, you know, when I'm sitting down on the ground hunting for turkeys.
Yeah.
And then you can throw the whole turkey in the backpack or on the meat shelf or whatever. And it's got plenty of room for extra clothes and stuff. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we did a rangefinder. We have a pack. So you got new. How much did that rangefinder cost, out of curiosity?
It was about $300.
Okay, so now so far, was this a purchase? Were those two purchases in the same year?
Yeah, that might have got that rangefinder in the end of 18, maybe.
Okay. So roughly in a, let's just say it's a 1 year to 18 month time frame. So far you've spent somewhere between, you know, let's just say $700 to $800 in upgrading gear based off of this one hunt that you went on before you went back out to another hunt. Outside of the rangefinder and the pack, how much other equipment, was there any other equipment that you decided you needed to upgrade on before your next Western hunt?
No, not really.
Okay.
I did buy a couple of things preceding this last trip I went on.
Okay.
But that was just
all right.
So
what kind of boots? I want to talk about an important, because one thing for me, you know, is boots, right? Boots are, in my opinion, one of the most important products that are pieces, articles of clothing or gear for any hunt that I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's sitting in a whitetail tree stand all day long or whether I'm hiking all day long out west, what are what boots did you run out west, and do you use those boots in the whitetail woods?
All right. So, and this is where I'm going to sound like a real cheap ass.
Okay.
Like I work in a shop every day, and I wear boots to work I wear boots 24/7.
Okay.
I take them off to go to bed, and I put them on when I get up in the morning. So I'm a boot person, you know?
Right.
I don't wear shoes very often. I don't really care for them. But so before I went out there, I was looking at some Danners. I was looking at something pretty kind of lightweight, you know, being that it was, you know, more of an arid area.
Yep.
My feet get hot real easily. So I wanted something that'd breathe.
Okay.
And I got to shopping around, and I bought a pair of Danner Jackal GTXs, and they're like a kind of a suede. They're older. I don't think they make them like this anymore, but they're like an older style. And I bought them off eBay and cheap, like $80. And I bought them, and I put miles on them before I went out there.
Okay. Broke them in good.
Yeah, I put miles on miles on them and broke them in good and went out there, hunted, you know, for a week. And they performed perfect. You know, they're lightweight. My feet don't sweat in them. I love them.
Yeah. Okay. So you shopped, you know, Danner's a relatively good brand. They are, I guess they would say they are the backpacking version of LaCrosse. I think both those companies, LaCrosse and Danner, are like owned by the same company, right? So
yeah.
So Danner makes some decent hiking boots, and it sounds like you found a good deal on those boots by going to eBay and not buying either direct or from a big box store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you also use those same boots in the whitetail woods?
I have been. Ever since I wore them out there, I've been wearing them deer hunting. Take that back. I only wore them the last two hunting seasons. I had a pair of muck boots, and I've always had like the tall rubber boots.
Right.
And I'm over it. I'm over the tall rubber boot.
Me too, man. I agree 100%.
I'm over it. So I got my muck boots out and wore them. And I was like, what am I doing? My feet are always wet from sweating so much on the inside. And they're clunky and there's no sneaking, you know?
Right.
So I started wearing those Danners when I go to the tree stand.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you just change the sock when you head to the tree stand and wear a thicker sock as it gets colder out, or do you change your boots once you're in the tree stand with, let's say, if it gets cold out?
Well, I can run those boots pretty late in the year just by adjusting my socks.
Okay.
But once it gets cold, like late season, you know, when it's real cold, I've got a pair of Rocky Path boots. I'll be honest with you, Dan, I've had them for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, they get worn like a dozen times every year, you know?
Yep.
They're not going to wear out.
Right. Yeah, that's the same thing. Same scenario I have with a pair of LaCrosse Alpha Burley Pros, where I wear them very, very, not very often at all. Like if it is it's really cold out, I'll wear them to scoop my driveway. I'll wear them in if I know I have to cross a creek to get to a tree stand, or if I have to, or if it's raining out or something like that, then that's when I typically wear them. If I know my feet are going to get wet, but if I know they're not, I'm sticking to my my hiking boots. I wear the same boots. This is going on 4 years, and I wear them all the time. Going on, yeah. I think it's four. Yeah, I'm going on 4 potential years. Yeah, 4 years with my Crispy Thors, and I've been on 2 elk hunts with them. I've been on 3 mule deer hunts or 4 mule deer hunts with them, and in that same amount of time, I'm also wearing them in the whitetail woods. So,
awesome.
So that's another example, just like what you're doing there, is using your boots for whitetails and Western. Sounds like you're using your pack for whitetails and Western. Your rangefinder is for whitetails and Western hunts. Now, I'm sure a guy could go out and he could just drop bank and try to have the most comfortable, the most, I guess you, and I say this in quotations because a lot of this has to do with marketing, have the most Western gear that, you know, that money could buy. So when it comes to, cause I know you've been on a variety of different, you've been on a bear hunt, you've been on an antelope hunt and maybe some other hunts, out West as well. What about your clothing? What type of clothing do you wear while you're out West? And is it the same type of clothing that you wear in the tree stand back in Indiana?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I got the merino base layers. Growing up, I always had those shitty cotton waffle long john.
Walmart. Yeah, dude, I had the same ones.
Growing up, that's what we always had. Those shitty, you know, the shitty long johns.
Yep, long johns. Yep.
And they suck. I don't even know why I kept putting them on, because they just would get soaked and with sweat, and then you're cold, and they were heavy and shitty. You know?
Yep. So you upgraded to merino that you're wearing in both locations now? Or what?
Yep.
How long have you had those? What brand is it?
I got the Black Ovis.
Okay.
Off of Camo Fire. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only, I wear that stuff all the time.
Okay. So you're pulling that, your merino base layers out for both of your hunts. Now here's my thought process. I'm gonna kind of throw my 2 cents in here once is, and I want to hear your thoughts, because in my opinion,
sure,
base layers are the most important, you know, beside your boots and socks, base layers are the most important piece of your layering system or garments, because of the moisture wicking ability and the ability to regulate body temperature, whether it's to keep you cool in the heat or whether it's to keep you warm in the cold. And so therefore I put a lot of emphasis on merino wool or even polyester synthetics, depending on, you know, activity level and temperature outside. And then I let the base layers do all the work, and then I slack. Yep. Like I even wear some, it's a company called Arborwear, and they make these, it's almost like a Carhartt pants, basically heavy denim pants for a lot of my hunts. And those are
what brand are those?
Yeah. They're called Arborwear. They're basically like Carhartts or, Dickie type style pants, right? Where they're heavy denim. Okay. Basically for like a working man would wear them to go to work in or do construction in. So I wear a lot of that type of clothing on the outside as my outside, because I know that my base layer is going to be doing a lot of the work. So when it comes to, like your layering system, how do you judge what is the most important? Like if you want to even break it down more, we could go base layer, we go insulation layer, and then we could go outer layer. Like talk to us about your setup and how you judge what you need in what scenario, or what you use in what scenario.
Yeah, so I've got like a really lightweight pair of pants. They're like a six pocket style pant, like a BDU style, and they're super lightweight.
Yeah.
Like really, like you could wear it on a day out like today where it's, you know, pushing 80, you know, you'll be hot, but you won't be, you know,
right.
You'd be looking for some shade.
Right.
But, once it starts getting cool enough where you're thinking base layers, I've got, like a lightweight base layer shirt, and then I have a heavyweight base layer shirt. So I'll start off with the lightweight shirt, and then as the temperature goes down, I'll add the heavyweight shirt over top of that.
So it's almost like a two base layers. Designed for two base layers. Okay, I gotcha.
So depending on the temperature outside. So my heavyweight is like a neck size up, so it fits over the top of that. And then I'll probably, you know, I'll just run those two shirts. And then depending on, you know, what I need, if I need a hoodie, or I've got a like a Cabela's wind shear vest.
Okay.
You know, it's like a windproof vest, and it's just a Cabela's brand.
Yeah.
So I can run that windproof vest, and I'm
so
good.
So that's like that's your insulation layer.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Pretty much.
And you use that system both in the whitetail woods and out west?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, we're getting to the point here where we both have realized that you don't need to have, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I've fallen victim to going out and buying both whitetail related gear and Western related gear and having two different systems. But yeah. Dude, the more I hunt, the more I use this system that I've created for myself for both scenarios, basically based off of temperature, mostly. Some of it has to do with wind, like wind as well. If it's really windy out and it's cold, then I might put on a windproof layer. But if, you know, if it's windy and it's warm outside, I can get away with using both, you know, I don't know, both. And I don't know about, have you ever been out west when it's been extremely cold?
Not when it was extremely cold.
Yeah. Okay.
When we went bear hunting this year, we had some pretty shitty weather, and it got, you know, it wasn't like December, you know, it was May.
Yeah.
It got cold and it snowed and it was windy and it was shitty, but it wasn't like wintertime shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that said, then, did you have a rain jacket that you, or a rain pants that you wore?
So I've got a set of their Cabela's, Foremost dry pants. So like they're just Foremost, and then they're like Dry Plus or whatever.
Okay.
And they're pretty nice pants. I think they were only, I don't know, they were less than $100. But they're like fleece lined. They're pretty nice.
Okay. And you use those both places?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when you're looking for gear, right? You're obviously looking for gear that you can buy in or that you can use in both places. And I know this is, you know, everybody talks about, I even use this sometimes, I use the word cheap. But I start to use that, I've also been reminded that cheap does not necessarily mean affordable. Cheap means cheap to me, right? Cheap doesn't mean that, you know, like I may make more or less money than somebody else. And because of that, what is affordable changes. So when you are looking at a budget, how do you determine what price you will pay for a specific item, like a $350 backpack or a $300 rangefinder or an $80 set of base layers? Like how do you go about making that decision on the budget that you have? Either maybe you have a budget set aside for hunting gear and equipment every year, or maybe you don't, but how do you make that decision?
That's a tough question to answer. I figured base layers, I mean, you want to make sure that, you know, it's like building a house, you know, you're building a foundation.
Yeah.
And well, the foundation's got to be right before the rest of the house is right. Right. I mean, you're building on that.
Right. So how do you let's just talk straight dollars, man. I mean, is $100 pair of pants too expensive for you? Or do you save up?
No.
Like how do you determine what, you know, what is an accurate amount to spend on said product?
I look at what's available.
Okay.
Like overall, everything that's out there, what's available. And so I'm going to take the top tier items, you know, brands, whatever. I'm going to pick out that pair of Sitka Timberline pants. And I know that it's $300 for that pair of pants. And I'm going to pick out those. Every highlight that those pants have, everything that they've got to offer, and then I'm going to find another item by another company that has those same highlights for less money.
Okay. And that's how you start your research.
That's how I start my research, by looking at the highest end shit there is.
Yeah. That makes, yeah, and, that's
and
great.
And taking notes on what they've got to offer.
Okay.
And trying to figure out why that stuff costs so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it worth it?
Yeah.
And is it for me? Because it might not even be a product that, you know, all those highlights might not even be for me.
Okay. So as you go through that research project and process, and you find, you know, you take the highlights of all the Sitka of the world, and you start looking for it. Still there's got to be like a cash flow check, right? You have to say, if it's $200, right, are you buying it then? It does the same thing. It's just $100 cheaper. Or are you looking for, you know, like obviously, I'll say this. In my opinion, price usually does reflect quality, but not necessarily functionality. So you might be able to get away with spending less money on something that works exactly the same, but you may not get the life out of it that you would on something you spent $300 for. But at the same time, you could buy an off brand or go to Amazon or eBay even, and find those, find that pieces of equipment through research that are much more affordable and have the exact same functionality, and life as the top tier type products. So Yeah. So when you do that, when you're doing your research, there's still got to be a conversation about cost, right? I mean,
right.
You know, so like how do you make that determination? I mean, obviously you're not going to spend, you know, you don't want to spend $300 on a pair of Sitka pants, but
right.
If you can't find all the categories that are met from that, from those pair of pants, like, so let's just say hypothetically, are you then buying the top tier stuff, or have you always been able to find a more affordable version of whatever it is you're looking for?
At that point, I'll wait for a good deal on that top end shit.
Okay.
So like, okay, I bought that rangefinder. Okay. I bought a Vortex Ranger 1800.
Okay.
For $300.
Okay.
I believe list price on that's like $389.
Okay.
So
you waited for a deal.
Friend of mine. Yep, oh, gotcha. I waited for a deal.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
So that I figured out the one I wanted, and then I waited for a deal.
Okay. So, with that said, then, was there any products that I don't know that you used in the whitetail woods? That you know it's fine that you use it in the whitetail wood, it works great, but you go out west and it may not work 100% in the west, but you tough it out and you sacrifice because you know it does just good enough.
Okay. My headlamps.
Okay.
Everybody's got a headlamp, right?
Right.
So, what kind of headlamps do you use, Dan?
Okay, so I don't even know the name of it, but for the last 5 years, I used a Energizer. Like, it was literally an Energizer-branded headlamp that I bought at a store at Walmart, I believe, that came with some some batteries, right? It was fairly bright.
Yep.
I can use it in the, I used it out west, did all right. Used it in the tree stand, and it came with like the red light as well. Yep. You could dim it a little bit, but then this year, that Energizer one broke and it wouldn't stay shut. So this year, I upgraded to like a $65 black diamond headlamp. Right, one that's supposed to be way more durable, and it has a whole bunch of different settings. You can dim any setting. You can have red light. You can have green light. Whatever you want. It's pretty badass, and I think it's gonna work better. Obviously, at that price, you would expect it to. But at the same time, I don't know if I necessarily needed it.
Yeah. Right. So. Exactly. I'm using the Energizer headlamps from Menards. Yep. You know, comes with the batteries. That's exactly where I was going with that. I'm using those exact same Energizer headlamps, and they work perfect. You know, around here, you get a deer. You know, you get it taken care of. You pack it out. Whatever. You walk them back and forth to the tree stand. It all works. Out west, okay, if you're counting ounces, you're going to want a Petzl or a Black Diamond or something trick for three times the money.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, it's going to weigh a lot less. The batteries are going to last a lot longer. It's going to just be a lot better. I mean, it's just going to be a lot better overall out there for when you're on a backpacking trip. You can use it every day for 10 days in a row, and it'll be just fine.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't need that expensive lamp for here and one trip every couple of years out west.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's also an example of paying, you know, paying extra money. It's not like you're paying extra. You're just getting way more functionality, and it's a brighter camera or a brighter headlamp and things like that. You know what yep. I mean? So again, price reflecting quality in that scenario. Have you had any recent, as far as whether it's been a whitetail purchase or a gear purchase that you were hoping worked in both scenarios, that you had any type of buyer's remorse from?
Not really, I don't think. I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't buy all the trinkets and shit, you know, so yeah. Pretty much what I have is what I've, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still using I've still got an old bow, and, you know, I'm not buying a new one every year. And
so your bow is, like you mentioned this before we started recording, that you have what, a 2012 PSC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the ready to shoot package.
Okay.
For like $500.
And you bought that? Did you buy that brand new in 2012?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's almost a 10-year-old bow for you.
Yeah.
Now you got that's I'm going to bring this up because you mentioned something before we started recording where you went to a bear hunt. And you got to the bear hunt at this camp, and everybody started opening up their bow hunting equipment, right? And their gear. And they had all this real fancy, brand new, tricked out equipment on their, as far as their bow and arrow setup. They were head to toe in all the high end camo and boots and gear. And you opened up your stuff. You had a 10-year-old bow, you know, however, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old bow. You had some of the clothing and boots that we talked about in this episode already. So, but you had a weird thought there for a second, feeling like you were outclassed.
Yeah.
Explain that.
I mean, just like you said, Dan, it's, you know, I should be proud of what I've got. I've worked hard for it, right? I'm 40 years old.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's just the society that we live in where everybody's got to keep up with everybody else.
Yeah. So you felt outclassed, but here's the kicker. You killed on that trip. You killed a bear on that trip, right? So
yeah,
none of that mattered at the end of the day, right? And that this is the reason I brought this up is because this is a perfect message to people who think that they need to look a certain way or have a certain amount of gear to go into the woods and harvest an animal or to kill an animal. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. None of it matters. Brand does not matter. Only thing that matters is what you are comfortable with. And I know that on the Nine Finger Chronicles, on the Hunting Gear podcast here, I do commercials. That's how I make my money. I sell advertising and I rep specific brands. But at the same time, people do not need to have whatever X brand is or however brand new equipment every single year. You are a perfect example of that, right? So it just blows my mind how, I don't know, it's almost like people get tricked through marketing to think that they need all this stuff to be cool. When at the same time, when I look at my wall and I'm looking at my deer that are on the wall, I'm looking at all the shed antlers that are hanging in my office from all the miles and miles and miles that I've walked, I'm not thinking about one product at all, period. I'm thinking about the experience and the memory, not about what camo pattern I was wearing at that time. Right. I don't know. People definitely overvalue brand, right? Overvalue brand over functionality and what makes a person comfortable. And you can definitely be comfortable in stuff that it doesn't cost $1,000. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of ranting at this point, but I think everybody gets my drift.
Yeah. So like, you know, when I was in that camp, you know, we're all buddies, you know, it's
right.
like no big deal, but you know, just when they got their stuff out, you know, got their bows out, they've got more, you know, in accessories hanging on their bow than my whole package cost
right
10 years ago, you know. And it's like, man, what am I doing with this old piece of shit out here?
Yep.
And it's like, I kill with it, you know, I kill with it every year, and it does good for me. I mean, I've had to put some strings on it, and I buy arrows and stuff every year, you know, gotta buy new arrows. The time you buy arrows and broadheads and nocturnals and whatever, and it's like, there you're in it for $150 or $200 or whatever.
Yes.
You know, just every year maintenance.
Yes. Yep. I feel you, man. I feel you.
And what's the deal with these broadheads costing over $100 for 3-pack?
I don't even look at those. I guess I haven't seen that, any of those. I guess maybe I black it out every time I see a number, a number over what I think a product should cost or not. So it is what it is, man. It all comes back to what you're comfortable with. Some products do perform better than others at a higher cost. Some do not. And you know, some people want to look good, and maybe looking good in the tree stand brings them confidence, and that's the confidence that they need to be a better hunter. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes I go to the woods looking like a hobo, and and I still get the job done. So take that too. So, but I tell you what, Andy, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with me about gear and all that stuff. So, thanks for hopping on, chatting with me today, and good luck in the woods this year, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. And good luck on your trips out west and everything. I know you're getting pumped up for that, so...
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.